KMAN.
News Radio KMAN, I'm Andrew Shores, and you're listening to In Focus this morning. And today it's USD 383 Day. We have USD 383 Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade and Board Member Dave Colburn in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you both with us here on this first day of March. And, of course, the morning before, the Manhattan High Indians get ready to take on Junction City Blue Jays. But, you know, that's not the only big thing going on this evening. We have a board meeting tonight. And we also have a work session this evening. And, gentlemen, when I see the agenda for this, you open up that packet for this work session. Some pretty exciting stuff going on. So I don't know if you want to elaborate just a little bit. We're talking about future growth, and I was particularly fascinated by some of the numbers, and I just want to know what your initial reaction is before hearing the presentation.
It's going to be a good presentation tonight. Again, it's 5:30 at Robinson Education Center. They're at 2031 Points Avenue across the street from Manhattan High School West. And again, 5:30, and it is planning for our future that there's going to be it's a pretty extensive report, but there's district demographics, there's enrollment projections, there's talk about the facility capacities of our buildings, just a lot of different information that's important as we plan for the future growth of our school district and community.
Well, and I was particularly fascinated. You look at RSP, I did some digging around online, found their website. They boast 97% accuracy rate in their projections. So with all of the things they're telling us in this study they will be presenting, you can say in good confidence these people usually know what they're talking about. And a number I thought was particularly fascinating, enrollment is projected to increase 8.7% by 2022. Is that something you expected to hear?
It is. I think it's a good, solid, stable growth that we can definitely manage. We just have to plan wisely forward, and that's part of the reason for the presentation tonight. And you know, like you said they do a good job. They talked to a lot of people in the community. They looked at a lot of reports as they put together this presentation. So I feel real good about how it's going to help us make decisions for the future.
This is not my first go around with these things, and but I'll say I am very impressed with this one. They did a lot of sophisticated analysis, and but I also think it's a very common sense result. You know, when Fort Riley was coming back, we saw some wild projections. And in the end, the projection that came out closest was from our own architecture study, the Ebert Mayo Group, which was just sort of a common sense, here's what Manhattan's growth has been over the past number of years, and here's what we think it's going to be. And that one came out really close, where some of the other ones were just crazy in terms of what they thought our growth was going to be because of Fort Riley. So I think this one's great in that it's really rooted in a lot of science, but it also, you know, comes out with what I think are some really common sense recommendations, and it just strikes me as being a really reasonable projection. I wasn't involved with the schools at the time, but back in the early 90s, our schools were really full, and there was this projection that by the year 2000, we would go from having 7,000 students to having 9,000 students. And we started building schools and getting ready for that, and then it turned out that Fort Riley downsized, and in the year 2000, instead of having 9,000 students, we had 5,000 students. So, demographics in this town with Fort Riley and all the other things it's a tricky thing, but I think they've done a great job.
And it's good to see, looking at the numbers, that they do break it down even by neighborhoods and a lot of different aspects that we need to be aware of as we plan.
Well, and there seems to be an air of practicality to this study when you look at it. They're planning for a lot of different factors. NBAF kind of seems to be the focal point of some of their projected growth. And along with that, I see they're also focused on looking at the market, unemployment, mortgage rates, things like that. They kind of have a disclaimer there at the end of their presentation, don't they, that, you know, if things are better than expected, then this will be right on track and things could also be slower. They don't claim that this is solid evidence, but is this a group that maybe the district has worked with before that you have confidence in? What made you select RSP and Associates?
Well, to my knowledge, we have not worked with them before, but they are part of the team that we've hired to do our overall architectural study. in planning for facilities planning. So BG Associates from here in Manhattan and Howard and Helmer out of Wichita are doing that study. And they are the ones that arranged to have these folks come in and do this piece of it.
And I know of superintendents and districts in other areas that have worked with them and have spoken very highly of them, though I haven't worked with them myself in the past.
Well, this is a really popular firm. I see they've worked all over Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Iowa, definitely widely utilized. Were you surprised at all? It seems to be that the biggest projection of future growth in Manhattan tends to be out in the Blue Township area. They talk a lot about elementary schools, and as you said, they break things down by neighborhoods. Do you think there's going to be any point in time where the district considers building a school out in the east part of town?
That's part of the discussion we're having now, is there's different scenarios, and we've been talking about them for quite a while, looking at different possible sites for schools, different grade configurations. In fact, we've got a survey that's online right now on our website. If people go to our website, on the right-hand side, there's a link where people can go to a facilities survey that will help give us some input about what they think we need to do. So if people would fill that out, that would be helpful for us. But it is, we're looking at a lot of different scenarios.
Well, and you've looked at some of the, you've been asking some of these same questions, and you've had some really great viral marketing, I guess I could say, when you have the board set out at parent-teacher conferences, and they're in the education center where people can take a sticky note and maybe write what they're looking at. Has there been any call amongst the community for something out in the Blue Township area?
Well, I think those families that live out there, would definitely like to see a school closer to home. And we do own land out there. We bought it with the express purpose of potentially building an elementary school there. And when you're busing significant numbers of students in from that area, you have to start saying it doesn't make sense to build a facility out here. But you have to balance that against lots of other factors. And one of the things that we're looking at that people need to know about, and I've gotten some emails and some questions about it, I've heard it phrased that there's a push to move the sixth graders to the middle schools. And that's not a true characterization, but it is something we're considering. I don't think there's a push, but one way of relieving crowding at the elementary level is to move the sixth graders into the middle schools. There isn't room for them. We would have to add on to the middle schools. And combined with the Parks plan that is discussing perhaps adding gyms on to both of our middle schools that we could use, but they would also be community spaces, that would start to make the middle school expansion look very feasible. And it might be the less expensive way of accommodating growth at the elementary level rather than building a school out in Blue Township. And I don't have an agenda. I don't have an opinion at this point. But I thank Dr. Wade for mentioning what he did. We need to hear from parents and families about what they want. The board has to consider, what's the most economically responsible way forward. And I'll say that 6-7-8 is probably the most common configuration for middle schools in the state of Kansas in peer districts, and that could pan out across the whole country. It's a very common model. Our 7-8 model is not as common.
I guess my question would be, when you talk about the future of USD 383, part of this study, thumbing through the slides, they're talking about younger people, millennials, here within the next 10 years, considering purchasing their first homes, having children, and making roots in the district. How important would it be to hear from people who may not have children in the district at this point, but may someday? Just because when you talk about the sort of people you'll be attracting with these laboratories and stuff, they may have a different philosophy as compared to someone who's been in the district long enough and seen things done a certain way.
That's been a focus not just of the school district, but of our entire community, that a group from the regional chamber went down to Northwest Arkansas in September, specifically looking at that what does it take to attract the millennials, that it's what we heard was it's no longer people go places for the jobs, they go for the quality of life, and then they find the job. So we have to be competitive with other communities that are trying to attract the millennials. So that is a focus of what we're working on.
Well, and you also include, you know, there at the end of the study, you talk about it's more than just the buildings. It's what you're able to do inside the building. So they talk about the programs that the district will be able to incorporate and continue based off their current setup with their buildings. And I thought that was particularly fascinating, just because when you think about number studies, you don't necessarily think about the less tangible aspects. By the way, phone lines are open right now, 785-537-1350. Speaking with USD 383 Superintendent Marvin Wade and Board Member Dave Colburn, and maybe not good publicity, but a case of the mumps.
Oh, yes.
It's gone from Kansas State University to USD 383. I know they've even seen it in Pottawatomie County. Tell us a little bit more about that. I know that just came out last week, and heard some more about that yesterday, but is this an isolated incident so far?
I believe it is. I haven't heard anything else other than what I heard was one student.
I haven't heard. Dr. Wade knows more than I do about what's going on district-wide. I just the idea that we have effective vaccines for things like mumps and people aren't using those vaccines drives me crazy. But.
And you probably know more about it than I do, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, I've heard about it, and, you know, it's one thing even Pottawatomie County officials, they talked about mumps the other day just because you never know what's going to happen. As you just mentioned, some people not vaccines these days. And thankfully, it sounds like it may just be an isolated case. We're going to go ahead and take our first break here on In Focus, but we'll be right back after this. It's 9:18 here on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential and